Good morning, radio friends. Welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Gospel Way Radio Broadcast. My name's Bradley Boone. I'm the pastor of the Concord Baptist Church. And I'm going to be your radio preacher for the next 15 minutes as we bring you a portion of the infallible and inerrant Word of God. We want to thank each and every one of you for listening so faithfully to this radio broadcast each and every day. And we trust that it's going to be a blessing to you today as we're continuing in our thought on hopeless cases. We've been preaching a series of messages out of the 142nd Psalm on hopeless cases. The Lord's been blessing and helping us here at the church. We've preached on a hopeless sinner. We've preached on hopeless sowing. The message that we're playing on today's radio, started on yesterday's radio broadcast, preach it all day, all week, that is entitled Hopeless Sincerity, dealing with the rich young ruler. And so we want to get back into that message. But first, let me give you an invitation to come be with us in any or all the services there at the Concord Baptist Church. We're located 4.5 miles outside of Burnsville on the Pensacola Road. And we'd love to have you at any or all the services. Sunday morning Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. Preaching hour is 11. Sunday night service is at 6. Wednesday night Bible study, prayer meeting, and preaching service is at 7 o'clock. We'd love to have you at any or all the services there at the Concord Baptist Church. We'll get back into the message now. Message entitled Hopeless Sincerity. We trust it'll be a blessing to you as you listen.
For eternity in hell. Being very sincere in what you believe and being very sincere in the things you do, you can still die and forever perish in the lake of fire. That's an important thing that everybody needs to know. There's not a lot of ways to heaven. There's one way, and that is through and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're trying to get in on any other way or on any other account, you'll not make it. And pride may want to keep you in the seat this morning, but I wouldn't let pride make me suffer for eternity. I'd say, forget pride. I'm going to get what really works. I'm going to get what's really going to keep me out of that fire that they were singing about today. I'm going to get what I really need. And I'd come to an altar of repentance and be saved before it was too late, because nobody is guaranteed to even leave this building this morning. Now I want you to think about hopeless sincerity. Look what this young man had. This young man had success. He had had financial success. And it's terrible in our day and age. A lot of people try and cover up their spiritual needs with financial successes. Things. You know, they got a need spiritually, but they make a lot of money and they drive a nice car and they've got a nice house and they wear a nice haircut and they've got a nice suit and they've got nice shoes and whatever it may be, but they're covering up a problem. You see, they don't want to look like what they are. You understand what I'm saying? Now, when we talk about sinners, we think about Skid Row. We think about the dopehead. We think about the drunk. We think about somebody driving around an old ratty car that don't have anything. My friend, we think about, that's what we think about by saying sinners. But how about that person that's lost and driving a Cadillac? That person that's lost and wearing a suit? That person that's lost that's got on a $200 pair shoes, you see, they're just as lost. And what I'm going to show you this morning, in some instances, more lost. My friend, not that there's any degree of loss, but what I'm going to say is they're more lost than that guy that's on Skid Row, because at least he knows he's lost. Now, listen to me this morning. We have before us every hopeless situation that we've looked at, Brother Gary, so far. Jesus was able to make hope out of the hopeless. Hallelujah. But right here, Brother Rick, we have a situation that Jesus couldn't even fix. Now that wasn't, it's not that he couldn't, don't get quiet on me. It's that that rich young ruler wouldn't allow him to do it. He could have fixed this rich young ruler's problem, but he wouldn't allow Jesus to fix it. You see, Jesus can't help you if you won't let him. Amen. Old downtown Larry Brown preaches a message on 10 people God can't help. And the number one person God can't help, my friend, is he who don't want none. Amen. If you don't want help, God can't help you, friend. You've got to want help to get help. Are you hearing what I'm preaching this morning? But he wouldn't allow it. He was a rich man. He was very wealthy. He had had success. Not only did this rich young ruler have success, but listen to me. He had a set of rules, bless goodness, that he lived by. Oh, he had a set of rules. The Lord went to quoting him them five commandments that have to do with the way that you treat your fellow man. Y'all did realize the Ten Commandments come in two parts, right? Five of them talk about how to treat your fellow man, and then five of them talks about how to treat God, your relationship between you and God. And so those make up the Ten Commandments. So Jesus starts quoting him them five that had to do with how to treat your fellow man. Oh, and he just popped up real quick. He didn't stutter. He didn't stammer. He said real quick, Brother Billy, he said, I've kept them from my youth up. He said, oh boy, you're quoting stuff I know all about. I've been keeping them, son. Now, we all in here, we know that's a lie. He hadn't kept them. But in his mind, he set him a set of rules, and he had a set of standards, and he had everything figured out, and he looked the part, and he talked the part, and he walked the, he said, I've got a set of rules. Now, I'm going to submit to you something the Lord showed me this week in study. There's two world systems that are damning people to hell. Two world systems. One is a system of outright ruin. You see, Satan gets some people with dope. He gets some people with meth. He gets some people with alcohol. He gets some people, my friend, just in outright ruin, womanizing. I mean, they're living and destroying their lives. And like I've already said, they're easy to spot. They've got the meth sores. They ain't got no teeth. They don't have any money. They're all the time looking for another high. They're in and out of jail. That's a system of outright ruin. And the devil catches a lot of people that way. He'd take a lot of teenagers to a little party, and he'll just say, hey, take a drink. And then they'll say, well, what could be so bad about it? All my friends is. So I take a little drink. And then the next thing you know, he says, smoke a little joint. And then they'll smoke that. It couldn't be so bad. What in the world could be wrong with it? But you see, there's always another high, and another high, and another high, and another high. And Satan is wrecking people with this outright ruin, leading them off into them kinds of lifestyles. Boy, he just loves to do it. But can I say that there's another world system that Satan wrecks just as many people, if not more? And that is the system of opinionated religion. You know what? Sometimes we get in our minds, you know, and I guess it's cartoons that we've watched, Little Red Devil, Little White Angel. Little Red Devil's telling you to do all wrong things. Little White Angel, he's wanting to do everything good. And, you know, that we get in our mind, why the devil, he's always wanting people to get out, cheer, and drink, and he's wanting people to get out here and do this. But I'm going to tell you something. If the devil can snag you with religion, he don't care if you do right or wrong, as long as you're going to die and go to hell when it's all over. As a matter of fact, I believe that the devil snags more people with doing right than he does with doing wrong. What do you mean, preacher? Simply this. He gets them involved in a religion. They get out there on the soup line feeding the poor, and the devil, he says, hey, keep on feeding the poor. You'll die and go to hell. You know why? Because he's got them people more. You see, the old gutter drunk, you get him sober and he'll tell you, I'm lost and bald and high grace. I need to be saved. You take that religious man, I mean, that's really into religion. He's working the soup line. He's got a set of rules. He's doing everything right. He won't say a cuss word. He won't cheat on his wife. He's got everything. You tell him, hey, you're lost. He'll argue with you suddenly. The sun goes down. He'll say, I ain't lost. I work the soup kitchen. I ain't lost. I told a King James Bible. I ain't lost. I go to church every Sunday. How in the world could I be lost? You see, that person's a lot more lost than the gutter drunk. Amen. And Satan don't care. You see, we get it in our mind that Satan only wants people to do drugs. He only wants people to drink. And he does want people to do that. But if he can snare you with religion and you do good, he's fine with that too. Because you're still dying and going to hell. And you might just promote your brand of religion and grab some others to take off to hell with you. So there's two world systems leading to absolute ruin. Now this rich young ruler. Now last week we saw some sinners that were caught up in that outright ruin. This week we see a sinner just as lost, caught up in religion. Caught up in religion. Now I want you to notice something this morning. We have seen how he had success. We see how he had a set of rules. But then I want you to notice how that he was sincere. He had sincerity. He was sincere in his appreciation of Jesus. Look what he calls him. Good master. Good master. Now that's a huge thing. Because the Jews taught, and this man was a Jew, that you didn't call anybody good but God. That's the only one you call good. And Jesus turns around and points it out to him. Jesus looks at him, brother Allen, he says, why callest thou me good? He said, there's none good but God. And I notice what Jesus didn't say. He did not say, I ain't God. He was pointing out to this, he was asking a very pointed question to this rich young ruler. He said, how come you call me good? You see, this rich young ruler had an appreciation of who Jesus was, that he was God, else he would not have called him good. Oh, I'm about to mess some of y'all up. You can sincerely believe that Jesus lived. You can sincerely believe that Jesus died. You can sincerely believe that Jesus is God and still die and go to hell. If you've never sincerely repented of your sins and sincerely asked him to come into your life and be the savior of your life, you'll die and go to hell sincerely believing a lot of things. Hopeless, you see. Hopeless. This is a hopeless case. I believe I preach to them every service. I believe I see them all the time. Religion's got a hold on, but God never has got. You see, when I'm preaching this morning, they're sincere in their appreciation for the Lord. They really mean it. They're sincere in the Lord's life. They're sincere in what they believe about, but they never have done what it takes to be saved. Listen to this. They're sincere in their appreciation. He was sincere in his approach. Now he come asking the right question. He said, What do I got to do to have eternal life? He didn't come to Jesus. Now he could have come to Jesus and say, Lord, what have I got to do to have power? Lord, what have I got to do to work miracles? Lord, what have I got to do to be healthy? Lord, what have I got to do to be financially successful? But what he did, Noah, was he come and he said, what have I got to do to have eternal life? Now that's a pretty good question. He asked the right question. But wait a minute. He throwed in one little word, two little words there that was a problem. He said, what must I do? You see, this fellow, his problem was he had a bad case of the I do's. And that was his religion, was I do. I do. I do. And so when he came to the Lord, naturally he thought, there's got to be some hoops to jump through here. There's got to be some things. What have I got to do? What I need to do? And what he expected, I believe what the rich young ruler thought that the Lord would say. I believe he thought the Lord would look at him and say, son, you're doing it. You're keeping all them commandments. You're living right. You're doing great. Just keep on doing it. But he didn't do that, did he? Oh, no. Jesus pointed out one glaring problem in the rich young ruler's life. Isn't that just like the Lord? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Look up in here, friend. If you don't want to know what the Lord thinks about something, don't ask him. Don't get in the altar asking the Lord what he thinks about a situation, because he will tell you. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Oh, he expected the Lord to say, son, you're doing great. Now, you're keeping all the commandments. Good for you. But instead, he said, yet thou lackest one thing. And all he lacked was getting saved. You hear what I'm preaching this morning? And that care, that heart of compassion and care, that's what the Lord was pointing at. It wasn't that he was too rich to go to heaven. He was too owned by his riches. My friend, to get saved. And the Lord was trying to show him that.
Well, we hate to stop the message there, but we're out of time on today's radio broadcast. We trust that the portion of the message entitled Hopeless Sincerity has been a blessing to you. And until tomorrow at this same time, this is Bradley Boone, the pastor of the Concord Baptist Church, saying may God richly bless you is our prayer.